You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
This afternoon, we're gonna talk about the last installment of our series called No Filter. And this series basically reminds us of our call as a church, as a movement, to have that call to do campus ministry. You know what? I'm also one of the product of this movement, basically. So if it wasn't for ENC, I wouldn't be here in front of you. So the goal of this series is to bring us, or to bring students, to the true source of identity and purpose, and that is God. Last week, Kuya Jairo preached a powerful message about identity, where we've learned that our identity is found in God, not on ourselves, nor in the things that we do, but rather our identity is based of how God formed us and that He knew us and loved us. And today, we're going to talk about purpose. Our scripture is taken from Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4 to 10. So if you have your Bibles, kindly open them to Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4 to 10. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." Then I said, "Ah, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a youth. But the Lord said to me, 'Do not say, I am only a youth, for to all to whom I send you, you shall go, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you,' declares the Lord." Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, "Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have set you this day over nations and over kingdoms to pluck and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant." So, first question that we need to ask: why do we need to talk about purpose? Because the moment sin entered the world, it robbed us from our identity and purpose that we have from God. So basically, when sin entered the world, what God originally planned for us, it was, kumbaga, we cannot live to that standard na ba. We are unable to live out that life that God has called us because of sin. And have you ever tried having an existential crisis, just like, you know, this person right here? When you're sitting down in your chair or lying on your couch, you're so bored because you have nothing meaningful to do in life, and napa-question mo yung self ba na, what on earth am I here for? Or what's really my purpose here in life? Or why do I exist? Diba? What's my point? Just like this man here, we all have that desire to be part of something grand and great because that's how God wired us. But kumbaga, kung sa IT pa na, that's how God programmed us. Our purpose in life is of eternal value. We can't fill that void with something that's just temporary. Like for example, if we find our purpose, kumbaga, in doing things like all your achievements, all your success, or kumbaga, all the money that you've piled up, it won't suffice because there's still this void in our hearts that no matter how much we fill it, as long as it's found in this world, it will never suffice. So basically, we are made to find our significance by being attached to the one who made us, and that is God. So let's look at the first verse that we've read a while ago. It says here, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4. "Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying," so basically, ang gingon ani is, God spoke to Jeremiah. Now, what was God trying to say to Jeremiah? It says here in verse 5, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nation." So, what God was basically saying to Jeremiah was his God-given identity and purpose. So, for us to know our purpose, we need to know who we are. That we are formed by God personally, iyang gi-pour out ang love niya while making us ba, and that we are fully known and loved by Him. Like for example, if you identify yourself as a dog, diba? Wala, example rin, for the sake of illustration na ba. If you identify yourself as a dog, then you would act what a dog would act. You bark, you scratch your neck with your leg, and you sniff, diba? Because for us to know our purpose, we need to know who we are. The concept of purpose rests on the foundation of identity. Who we are determines what we are here for. If we are products of random chance, then we wouldn't know our purpose. If we are products of our environment, then our purpose is determined by our environment. But if we are made by God, then God defines our purpose. Let's say na if we are a product of random chance, how can a random chance produce this handsome face pa? Sorry guys, ako may nandere so. Ganyan na ba? Or if we are products of our environment, like the Charles Darwin theory, I wouldn't want to associate myself with, you know, chimpanzees and gorillas. But thank God that He has formed us ba personally with kanaganing with a intention to kanaganing we had with a purpose in mind. So kana God has given us our identity in order that His identity might be proclaimed through us. And since we are image bearers of God, our role is to make Christ known and be glorified. So it says here in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Now, this was the specific calling that Jeremiah got from God. So this was Jeremiah's calling. If being sons and daughters of God is our identity, then our purpose is to live it out. So if God calls us a treasured possession or a royal priesthood or a holy nation, then our purpose is to live that out. And if you're here and you think that you're here by accident, you're just a product of, you know, a random collocation of atoms and whatnot, you're not. Basically, you are not here by accident. And I want you to know that God has made you personally and that God has given you a purpose. Tell your seatmate you have a purpose. We're gonna look here. Mona ni ang specific purpose na ni Jeremiah. God was calling him to be a prophet to the nations. So, in other words, to be a spokesperson for God or to be a mouthpiece. So, mota yung specific calling ni Jeremiah. But when it comes to our specific purpose, we must discern our purpose from God. How? It basically goes back to the first verse that we've read a while ago that God spoke to Jeremiah. So when you say God spoke to Jeremiah, it goes back to what God tells us or wants us to do. So when you say, na, what's my purpose in life? We all go back to the Word of God right here. If we want to discern our purpose in life, the one who created us, if we want to know the will of the one who created us, then we must read His word. Because the reason why Jeremiah knew his purpose was because God said he'd be a prophet. And maybe you feel like God has called you, you know, to world missions or to be a campus missionary or to be a pastor like these three right here or to be a philanthropist or to be a blessing to the poor and needy. If that's really what God wants you to do for His glory, then by all means, go for it. Are you getting the point so far? Nako ara. So, kana, let's look at Jeremiah's response when he received the call to be the prophet, to be a prophet to the nations. This was his response. Then I said, Ah, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a youth. Now, what do we have here? Actually, this verse sounds familiar because this is the same, kumbaga, excuse that Moses made when God called him to be used by God to free the Israelites from slavery out of Egypt. But the phrase here, nakaning, I don't know how to speak, Jeremiah was pertaining to, or like, was saying to God, God, I don't know how to speak publicly. When Jeremiah knew that he'd be a prophet, he said, God, you want me to become a spokesperson for you? I can't speak publicly. I don't even know how to speak publicly. And in correlation to Kaninka Moses, Moses was claiming to be a stutterer, but Jeremiah here was claiming not to speak publicly. So, like karun, ako, I don't want to speak public, but God called me to speak in public. So, let's obey God. So, what can we get from Jeremiah's response to God's calling in his life? Diba? It says here, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a youth. What can we get here? What can we get from this response? Basically, Jeremiah felt inadequate or not prepared for the purpose that God has for him. In some point in our lives, we were in Jeremiah's shoes. We're too fixated in our own inadequacies that we tend to make excuses out of them. Now, perhaps, you know, Jeremiah might be thinking, now, Lord, I feel like I can do great things someday, but now is not the right moment for me. Jeremiah is talking here na, for I'm only a youth. Maybe money yung excuse, Lord, paskulas ako high school. Grade 6 pagani ko, magana ba? Or Lord, let me finish my college degree first and then maybe, just maybe, I am prepared enough to go and advance your kingdom. Or maybe, Lord, I have a better idea. How about this and that? Nakanaganing, we try to negotiate God gani. Okay, kabalotang lisod yung kayo ang purpose na nakanaganing He asked for us. Or maybe this could be our excuse. Lord, financially lack, manggood me. Lord, wala ko'y kwarta. Lisod kayo. And what Jeremiah is trying to say is that, Lord, I'm just a kid. And you know what this response tells us to the next generation? This response tells us that the next generation thinks that God will use them someday, but not at the moment because they feel they are too insignificant to play an important role. They feel like they're just a speck of dust here in the whole wide universe. Everything that they do will not make an impact because, you know, they're just a kid and the world tries to bring them down or put them down or we're gonna shoo them away or we try to silence them when things are, you know. And maybe they feel like they're a nobody or maybe they feel too insignificant that whatever they do, they will not make an impact. And maybe that could be the reason why most of the young students right now tend to go to things which is of really no value ba? Na could be drinking or smoking, premarital sex or drugs, you name it. And if the young people neglect or can't find their purpose in God, then how do we expect to see change in our family, in our city, in our campus, in the nation, and into the world? And I feel like God is trying to tell us that, yes, each and every one of us has a great destiny from God. But are we living out that destiny that God has for us? And that's the very reason why we need to preach the gospel to the next generation, guys. That's why we need to preach the gospel to them. Now, God is not calling most people here in this room to be like Jeremiah, to be, you know, to be in a prophetic ministry or wala siya gitawag na, or maybe in, not all of us here are called to be pastor or a campus missionary like this three right here. Any service, whether that be an outreach activity or church ministry, as long as it is God who is putting it in your heart, then that could be your calling. That could be your calling. Now, what is your purpose? Or what is that thing that God has been telling you to do? Or what has God put in your heart? Now, most of us might say, Lord, I want to go to Siliman and boldly preach the gospel and, you know, proclaim your name all over the classroom, each and every building there. But I don't have the experience, Lord. Or I don't have the skills nor talents to do so. I am not enough. And kana, if ever those statements crossed your mind, guys, I like this one verse right here. It says here, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 7. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am only a youth, for to all to whom I send you, you shall go, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. So God's like saying to Jeremiah right here, Jeremiah,
Yasha, do not say. Do not say you're only youth. Do not say na you're inexperienced or you're not enough or you're just a kid. Don't say that you don't have the skills or nor talents to do so. Why? The second part is this. For to all to whom I send you, you shall go. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. So what does this imply? What does this imply? God sends us whether we like it or not. It doesn't matter, Jeremiah, if you are young. I'm going to send you anyway. It doesn't matter if you don't have the experience. I'm going to send you anyway. It doesn't matter if you think you are not enough. I'm going to send you anyway. And yeah, God sends us whether we like it or not. Jeremiah's inadequacy or deficiency was overruled by God's authority. So, regardless of what excuses you have right now or limitations that you can bring to God, His authority will overrule it. And aren't you glad, church, that whenever God calls us to do something, He never looks at our strengths and weaknesses? Because if our calling rested on our own credentials or resume, then our purpose would have no basis. But if our calling rested on God, then it doesn't matter how young, it doesn't matter how inexperienced we are, it doesn't matter we have the skills or not. What matters most is whether or not God is sending us. If it's from God, then that's more than enough reason to do it. And I like this part put. But the Lord said to me, do not say, I am only a youth. Because as human as we are, it is a natural tendency for us. It's a common practice for us to say our shortcomings, say a lot of excuses. And Lord, we confess our weaknesses. But God is trying to say to Jeremiah that it is not what he should focus on. He should focus on God's commission in his life. But kanisha, it doesn't mean God is trying to deny the fact that Jeremiah is just a kid. What God was trying to say to Jeremiah was that, this verse right here. God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are. So what does this mean? It does not deny the fact that Jeremiah was inexperienced, Jeremiah was young, but God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. Who would have thought na a kid can make an impact to the nations? Gani? Who would have thought na 7 years old can make a change sa nation? Diba? Only it says here na God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. And the world is like saying, Jeremiah, the young and innocent kid, nah, he can't do anything. Or he's too insignificant to play a role or make any decisions in life. God chose what is counted as nothing by the world to nullify what the world considers important. And what's so amazing whenever God sends us is that God goes with us. It says here, do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. We can see how much God cares for Jeremiah in the same way for you. So, kana, wherever God has called you, always know, church, that God will not leave you hanging. God will always there for you. God will always be by your side, at your back, in front of you, to really make sure na you're always being taken care of by God. And that is a comforting fact that no matter how difficult the situation may be, as long as God is on your side, you know full well that everything will be all right. Kani, it's also a command, do not be afraid of them. So, na may them. Maybe during Jeremiah's time, many kanang frightening people kanaganing would rise up and oppose his plans, oppose God's plans. But it doesn't matter. God commands Jeremiah not to be afraid because it is our very nature to be easily afraid and be overwhelmed by the situations that's happening in life. Yes, challenging circumstances, hard times, or even frightening people, they're all inevitable. But all of those stand in pale comparison to the presence of God. So as long as you know that God's with you, then what's there to be afraid of? What's there to be afraid of? I believe, nakana, whatever you're going through, church, God's like saying, I am here by your side, and I will help you go through it. Continuing on to verse 9, says here, then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. So basically, God equips us with his word. So actually, this is the same scenario of the touching of mouth portrayed in Isaiah chapter 6. I didn't put it here on the slide. It says here in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 7, he touched my lips with it and said, see, this coal has touched your lips. Now your guilt is removed and your sins are forgiven. Now there's a distinction between Isaiah 6, 7 and this verse right here. What we can notice here in verse 6 is that the touch removes, or basically, it is the seraph using the tongs to bring the coal to touch Isaiah's mouth. But in this verse, it is God's hand touching Jeremiah's mouth. And in the touch in Isaiah removes the guilt and forgives sin. But the touch here in Jeremiah, the touch puts God's word in his mouth. You know what, church? God's word is our greatest weapon when we are in the toughest of situation. This is the only weapon that we can use against the schemes of the enemy, against whatever orgs that are trying to form in the campuses or in the community. You know, God's word is really powerful. It has the power to change lives. It has the power to, you know, bring the dead back to life. And it is the word of God that will sustain us in times of difficult and overwhelming situations. Last verse, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 10. See, I have set you this day over nations and over kingdoms, to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. Now, to pluck up and to break down here portrays about the preaching of the gospel. Because during this time, the Israelites were committing a lot of sins. They were worshiping to pagan gods. They committed adultery before God. And that was the very purpose that Jeremiah was called by God to be a prophet. The phrase here, to destroy and to overthrow, speaks about judgment. If they don't repent, then, you know, judgment will come upon those people who will not repent. And the last phrase here, to build and to plant, means to restore what was broken for the very original purpose that God has for the nations. Because He is the one true King of all nations. And I would like to end with this quote from Westminster Catechism. It says, your man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. And I hope na we get to see our purpose in God. We get to discern our purpose in God. How? By reading His word, meditating on it day and night, by praying. And may we never forget that the reason why God created us is to have a relationship with Him. God wants us to enjoy Him. Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever.
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorytomaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.